On Midwest Week, as voting begins, the parties are fighting it out on the campaign trail and in court. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Aaron Murphy, Lee Enterprises Bureau Chief in Des Moines, and his work appears here in the Quad City Times and Muscatine Journal. So, Aaron, in a couple of Iowa counties, some representatives from the two parties are in court, and what are they arguing about?
This issue about absentee ballots and some counties, it's actually three counties that did it, Johnson and Linn County in eastern Iowa, in Woodbury over in western Iowa, that had sent out absentee ballot request forms with the voter identification number already filled out. And that was not supposed to be. That's against a new state law that information could not be put on there. The voter had to fill that information in themselves. So Iowa Republicans and the Trump campaign challenged those actions in court, and now it's become basically imagine watching a tennis match at Wimbledon. It's gone back and forth. One judge ruled against the auditors that they couldn't do that, and so those ballot requests couldn't be honored. Then another judge kind of reversed that ruling, and then the Supreme Court got involved too. And it's become all a mess. And in our story, actually, the latest report on it kind of says that all parties involved in this have it's gotten to the point where they admit on all sides of this that it's gotten confusing, and the voters are the ones that are in the most kind of danger here. So the bottom line is if you are filling out an absentee ballot request form, And I want to stress, I'm not talking about the ballots themselves, the request form that you fill out to have a ballot mailed to you. That's what we're talking about here. If you fill one of those out, the safest thing is probably to not fill one out if it came with that information already on it. So if you got in the mail an absentee, especially if you're in one of those three counties, and you got something in the mail and an absentee ballot request form in the mail that had that voter identification number filled out ahead of time, you're probably safest to not fill that one out and either do it on your own or request another form without one and fill it out that way. Or we're into the early voting period. You could just go to your auditor's office now and vote early if you'd like to that way too.
So why is this a possible problem, Aaron? I mean, you know, they put my name on it, and what's the problem with also putting a voter ID number? It seems like it would speed things up.
Yeah, so this goes in. That debate was had in the Iowa legislature earlier this year when this law was passed. Republicans supported the measure, and they said it's needed for a safety mechanism to ensure that, you know, the person is who they say they are. It's an added layer of security by having the person filling up themselves. Democrats made kind of the point that you raised, that look, this is a way to make it easier for voters. A lot of people don't know their voter identification number. I think it's safe to say if we polled 10 random people in the state, we would be lucky to find one who knew their voter PIN number off the top of their head, or even knows where they put that card that the Secretary of State sent out a few years ago. So that was the argument in favor of having that number put on there, is that it makes it easier for voters. Now, I should note that that's not the only way you can identify yourself. You can also identify yourself with a driver's license. So this would be an issue for people who don't have a driver's license and need that PIN number as a form of identification.
Okay. Now, Aaron, probably the main race in Iowa this year is for the U.S. Senate. And why is this such a big deal?
Well, it's a big deal for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's a competitive race. Polling has showed that it's a very close race. Most polls show Teresa Greenfield, the Democratic challenger, leading Joni Ernst, the Republican incumbent, but it's usually by a very small margin. So it seems to be a very close race. And in the bigger picture, the national picture, this race is likely going to play a role in whether Democrats or Republicans come out of the election with the majority in the Senate. Right now, Republicans have the majority, but it's a very small, I believe, forgive me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's 53-47. And there are enough seats in play, including Iowa, that Democrats could flip that and take control of the Senate for the next couple of years.
So why is Joni Ernst considered vulnerable?
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting, and she started vulnerable right from the start of this, the first polling we got. It's not something where the race has moved. Right from the start of this, she was in a very tenuous position, according to the polling. So there's a couple ways you could explain that. The national mood, you know, is the top of the ticket. President Trump is also not doing nearly as well here. As he won the state by 10 points 4 years ago. Polling on him in Iowa shows him in a very close race by Joe Biden. So even if he's ahead, he's not ahead by much, and certainly not ahead by as much as he won 4 years ago. So the top of the ticket may be hurting Joni Ernst. Just maybe the views of the Senate in general are favoring Democrats right now. But it is interesting, and I don't have the perfect answer for you, but she has been in a tough spot right from the start of this race, especially for an incumbent.
So out on whatever the campaign trail is this year, Aaron, what issues are Joni Ernst and Teresa Greenfield talking about this year?
Yeah, so Joni Ernst is, and she does have a little bit more of a challenge in that Teresa Greenfield, as the challenger here, doesn't have a voting record that you can point to, well, she voted this way and this and this and this. So what the Ernst campaign has made a big deal about Teresa Greenfield's business record. She's a former real estate executive, and they've tried to pick at some things in her history there. They've also been critical of Teresa Greenfield's campaign style. They say she's not getting out and doing as many events in as many areas of the state as Joni Ernst does. Conversely, Teresa Greenfield making a lot of hay about health care. That looks like it's going to continue to be a critical issue in congressional races, just like it was 2 years ago. And also about partisan gridlock in Washington, and she's attempted to portray herself as someone who's been willing to work with lawmakers during her time as a business person, that she worked with lawmakers of both parties, and paints Joni Ernst as part of the congressional gridlock problem in Washington.
And does it seem, Aaron, that there's a lot of money being spent on this race?
Yeah, more than a little. The candidates themselves, Joni Ernst has raised more than $9 million, and Teresa Greenfield more than $5 million. So that's a decent chunk, obviously. But then you bring in the outside group, and closing in on $100 million has been spent on this race. And that should come as no surprise to anyone who's listening, who has a television station. They've seen the relentless amount of commercials on this race.
What about the races for Congress? Will Democrats keep their three seats and maybe even get a fourth?
Those first three are going to be interesting. The first and third districts are, first is Eastern Iowa, third is Central Iowa. Those are just by their nature competitive districts, so they're always going to be close races. There's two Democratic incumbents there. First term, they're freshmen, so they're trying to hold on to their seats. I think that maybe both of those Democratic incumbents have the edge right now, but those are going to be close and competitive races. The second district in Eastern Iowa is a little more interesting. It's an open seat race after the Democrat Dave Loebsack retired. So that's an open seat race, makes it even more interesting. So all three of those are going to be competitive and could be close, and it'll be interesting. The fourth district, I think, is probably leaning back towards Republican hands now that Steve King was knocked out in the Republican primary. I think the Republican candidate there, Randy Feenstra, probably goes into that race in a little better spot than Steve King would have.